74. Forsaking my own livelihood, I rob others of their share. Squandering my own inherited wealth, I plunder from that of others. Okay, so forsaking my own livelihood, I rob others of their share. Okay, so it doesn't mean we go into their house and burglarize it at night, you know, but we take advantage of others to get from them what we can. Okay, so rather than work with an honest livelihood ourselves, you know, at a career that doesn't involve harming others, we choose, you know, shady business deals. We get involved in all sorts of schemes. We mooch off others. Somebody's going to give ourselves something free, and we mooch. Okay? We do, don't we? And just thinking, like, at what age do we stop taking our laundry to our parents' house to get done? You know, at what age do we start doing our own laundry instead of, oh, I'm going to go visit mom and dad today and bring our laundry with for them to do? You know, remember how that is? You don't remember? I'm the only one who did that? Oh, dear. Okay, squandering my own inherited wealth, I plunder from that of others. Okay, so we have our own savings or our own wealth, but again, we take advantage of others. We're always looking for free deals, looking for some kind of benefit for the self, some kind of financial thing where we can get something. You know, in the presentation of the Sangha, you know, in terms of Sangha, it means also like depriving the Sangha community of its offerings. Okay, so you might be acting as the manager of the community. Somebody makes offerings to the community. You siphon a little bit off for yourself. Or, you know, people donate money to the Sangha. When people donate for a specific purpose, then the money should be used for that purpose. You know, it's very important. Or if, you know, you're a Sangha member, when the offerings are passed out and distributed amongst everybody, you only take the same share as everybody else. You don't take seconds unless, you know, the person in charge of giving the offerings is, you know, said there's leftover and please others can come take them. So even within the Sangha community, there's lots of things that we're instructed in terms of how to be mindful of the common property and the things that are offered to the community. Yeah. You know, so there's like a storeroom with extra robes, and you can't just go in there and take what you want and then store them in your room instead and have lots of stuff. You know, you go to the storekeeper and say, I knew this and that person gives it to you. Okay, so dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception, mortally strike at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self. Okay, next verse. Alas, though my endurance for meditation is weak, I have sharp clairvoyance. Though I've not even reached the edge of the path, my legs are needlessly fast. Dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception. Mortally strike at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self. So this verse is said with a lot of sarcasm. Okay? So, though my endurance for meditation is weak, I have sharp clairvoyance. Well, the only way you really get clairvoyance is by doing earnest meditation and especially gaining single-pointed concentration. But, you know, people put on the air of having clairvoyance, and they may do divinations, or they may, you know, do psychic readings or tarot cards or who knows what, claiming clairvoyance when they don't really have it. Okay, so this is kind of making fun of, you know, those people who haven't created the cause by doing the serious practice, but yet claim to have these psychic powers. Though I haven't even reached the edge of the path, my legs are needlessly fast. There's one of the psychic powers that comes from tantric meditation called quick legs. And what it means, it's basically, you know, this thing of you can get somewhere very quickly. You know, these stories about yogis flying in the sky or walking very quickly. It's the realization of quick legs. So, you know, even though we haven't, you know, gained any sort of meditative ability, we haven't reached the edge of the path. You know, the edge of the path is generating renunciation and bodhicitta. That's when you first enter the path. So we haven't even gotten ourselves as far as that, but we have very quick legs to travel here and there. Okay, so again, kind of boasting about having attainments that one doesn't really have, putting on airs to impress people. And this kind of thing is very strictly forbidden. I mean, even in our monastic vows, one of the root vows through which you lose your ordination is claiming to have realizations and abilities that you don't have. Yeah, it's quite a serious thing to do that. Okay, so dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception, mortally strike at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self. So in each of these verses, when you're seeing this kind of thing, think about how self-centeredness gets us involved in this kind of behavior, how self-grasping manifests, you know, and gives forth all the other afflictions, and which afflictions in particular, you know, make us get involved in this kind of behavior. So I'm not pointing this out for each verse, but please, when you're reflecting on these and doing analytical meditation on them, please think about that and make examples in your life. When someone gives me useful advice, I view them with hostility as a foe. When someone deceives me through treachery, I repay the heartless with kindness. This was the verse that I was talking about at the beginning. Okay, dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception, mortally strike at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self. So someone gives us useful advice out of kindness, out of compassion, you know, or even they don't like us and they still give us useful advice, you know, by pointing out our mistakes. We get defensive. You know, we think this person is an enemy. Somebody says something to us with kindness, or, you know, just point something out, some etiquette even that we don't know, and we just get defensive. We feel like they're attacking us or humiliating us in front of others, and we just view them with hostility. Don't we? And then every time we have the opportunity, you know, we're rebellious, we're defiant, we're belligerent. No? So this happens a lot, you know. Our boss maybe is pointing something out to us, you know, that we need to look at, or a colleague points something out, or, you know, your spouse, or even your kid. You know, kids often see your mistakes, don't they? You know, and they point something out, or, you know, your spiritual mentor does, or the abbot of the monastery says something, you know, and then you just go, you know, don't tell me what to do. You know, you say, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, and that means you, and, you know, get off my back and start bossing me around. And, you know, we get really defiant. You know, and defensive, and, you know, either we say something to them, or you know, our more common thing is we pretend to acquiesce, and then we do all this passive aggressive stuff. You know, like we say, oh, yes, yes, I'm going to do it, and then we don't. Okay? Or we say, oh, yes, 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 thank you, and then we look for when they mess up. You know, we go and get them. Okay? So, you know, get our retaliation, take our revenge. You know, and it's hard to admit to ourselves that we do that. Nobody likes to think of themselves as a vengeful person. But, you know, sometimes somebody corrects us or points something out to us, and we don't want to hear, and then we take every opportunity after that to just be, you know, defiant in some way. Oh, you want that done? Here, I'll give you the tools. You could do it yourself. Whereas somebody who deceives me through treachery, I repay the heartless with kindness. Okay? So somebody, like I was telling at the beginning of class, who, you know, is so sweet to us, flatters us, gives us presents, introduces us to all their important friends, you know. we don't see through this, and we repay, you know, what they're doing with the with kindness, and we follow them. And I remember one time, like finally acknowledging to myself in a meditation session, somebody is nice to me. It doesn't matter who they are, but I love them back. Somebody who's not nice to me, doesn't matter who they are, can't stand them. Okay? So somebody, you know, they could have evil intentions, they could be competitive and jealous, they could be deceptive, they could be manipulative, who knows what. But if you're nice to me and say sweet words to me, I am your slave. You know, I'm such a sucker for praise. Yeah, so needy for approval that, you know, anybody who says anything, yeah, I'm your friend. And then people who may, you know, really be looking out for my welfare, you know, but say things that aren't pleasant to hear, I don't want to go be around them. Yeah. So just to look at ourselves, you know, how we choose who to listen to. You know, somebody ingratiates themselves with us through saying all sorts of sweet words, you know, and then, you know, we're such suckers, aren't we? Look at the kind of relationships we get in with people who say some nice words to us. No, like absolutely no discriminating wisdom has gone out the window. Yeah, somebody says you're wonderful, I love you, you're talented, you're beautiful. We make three prostrations and follow their guidance. Okay. Yeah, somebody says, oh, you better look out for, you know, what you're doing here. It could lead you to difficulty. Mind your own business, fella. Okay? So, you know, sometimes, yeah, our discriminating wisdom is really in hibernation. Yeah? So why? Self-centeredness, self-grasping. So that's why dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception, mortally strike at the heart of the butcher, the enemy, the self.